Welcome to Walking Together, a podcast all about encouraging each other as we follow Jesus together. I'm your host, Dennis Lavelle. Let's start walking. Today, I want to talk about being frustrated. Now, we all experience frustration in our lives, but what are we supposed to do when we get frustrated with God? Now, sometimes we get to the place where we just don't like what God is doing. My current situation doesn't seem to be changing, no matter how much I pray about it. And we don't appreciate the fact that God is taking so long to answer our prayers. And in the meantime, it just seems like life is spiraling out of control and getting worse. And no matter how hard you try, things are deteriorating with your spouse, your kids, your job, your finances, your friends, maybe even within the four walls of your church. And worse yet, you're frustrated with God. And that's where Habakkuk finds himself. And what's written for us is actually a conversation that Habakkuk has with God. And it shows his frustration with him. Now, Habakkuk's life is not going the way he thinks it should. And the country he lives in is filled with violence and injustice. God's laws are not being obeyed. Innocent people were falsely accused. And as a result, there was a lack of unity in the whole nation of Israel. And if we take a step back and pause to think about it, this is exactly what's happening in the world today. People are upset about politics. Hot-button topics on the economy and the border seem to ignite passions into the red zone of our emotions. And there is disunity and frustration just about everywhere. And Habakkuk prays and he cries out to God, and nothing seems to be changing. So now Habakkuk's actually wondering if God even cares, because nothing's changing. And what Habakkuk teaches us is that when we're frustrated, we can take our questions to God. So this is what Habakkuk asks God in chapter 1, verse 2. He says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you violence, and you aren't saving, and you will not save." So the first question he poses to God is, how long? How long is this going to last? How long will all this continue? And we've all thought that, haven't we? When you go through a difficult time, you ask yourself and God, when is this going to end? And in verse 3, Habakkuk cranks it up a notch. And he says, "Why are you showing me iniquity and cause me to see trouble?" And he says, "Spoiling or plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention everywhere I look." So the first question was, how long? When is all this injustice going to end? And now his second question is, why? God, why aren't you doing something about the problem? God, why aren't you answering my prayers? God, why aren't you blessing those who want to serve you and punishing the people who do evil? And then he goes on to ask another question in verses 4 and 13. And if I can paraphrase that, he says, the current laws, they're useless. Matter of fact, they are helping the wicked more than the innocent. He says, God, your eyes are pure. How can you even bear to look at what's happening? In other words, how could you do this? How could you allow this to happen? I thought you were holy. I thought you were righteous. I thought you wanted people to turn from their sin. What is happening? So God begins to answer Habakkuk's questions in verses 5 and 6. He says, "Look among the nations, and behold and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, even if it be told to you. For I am raising up the Chaldeans, the bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess homes that are not their own." God says, "Look, Habakkuk, I am doing something, but you're not going to like my plan. I'm gathering together the wicked Chaldean army, and they're going to invade Israel to judge them for their sin. And God was absolutely right. Habakkuk did not like that plan. And Habakkuk was not afraid to tell him that. And he says, wait, what? God, your plan doesn't even seem fair. And it doesn't even make sense to me. Why in the world would you use the Chaldeans? I mean, they're even more wicked than Israel. Why do you want to use an evil nation to judge God's chosen people? God, that's not even logical. And I bet you've experienced Habakkuk's frustration. And we've all asked the question, how long, God? And why, God? And how could you allow all of this? And if God, in his grace, actually chooses to reveal a tiny fraction of his plan, we don't like it at all. So what is Habakkuk supposed to do now? He's asked God the tough questions. He's come to God with his frustrations. He's poured out his heart before God. And Habakkuk actually gets some answers that helped him. And those answers will help us as well. And Habakkuk does three things that changed his life. And if you will do these three things, you will see what's happening in your life from a completely different perspective, just like he did. And so the first thing he did, after asking the tough questions, was he waited. He waited. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, I will stand on my watch and set myself on the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, I know that seems like maybe the opposite thing you're supposed to do, but instead of getting mad or bitter, he waits. He goes to a tower, a quiet place where there is less distraction, and he waits for God's answer. Now, this lets us know that he expected to hear from God, that he hadn't given up. Yes, he's extremely frustrated, but he still believes that God will do what is right. He was still trusting God in the tough times. And you already know this. Waiting is one of the hardest things we have to do. But don't forget, he's already asked God, how long is this going to last? Now that tells me that he's already spent some serious time waiting. And Habakkuk says, I'm not going to do anything stupid. I'm not going to do what I think is right. I'm just going to wait on the Lord because I'm confident he knows better than I do what needs to happen. Think about it this way. Do you gain strength when everything is going your way? No. Strength is gained when there is resistance. When you exercise, you build muscle because there is resistance. And the result is that you get stronger from it. And this is exactly what God is doing. He was strengthening Habakkuk. And God is strengthening you during this period of waiting. Then you might ask, well, what am I supposed to do while I wait? You trust God and you keep doing the things you know you should be doing. It's as simple as that. Trust God and do what's right. You keep loving your wife. You keep loving your husband. You keep reading your Bible. You keep giving back to God financially. You still try to make a difference in someone else's life. And you keep sharing Jesus with people. It's as simple as that. The second thing he does is he listens. Look at verse 1 again. He says, I will stand on my watch and set myself on the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. Don't miss that. He was confident that God was going to speak. So he prepared himself to listen. And even though he was still frustrated and didn't understand God's plan, he was going to listen for God's voice. Now, I encourage you to read through Habakkuk on your own. I mean, it will take less than 10 minutes. But one of the reasons Habakkuk was so upset was that God's glory and God's reputation was at stake. And that's a great question to ask ourselves. And all the problems that I'm dealing with right now, is one of my concerns that God will be glorified? Or is my only focus, God, please solve this problem so I can get this weight off my shoulders, right? So I can get on with my life. You see, God wanted to remind Habakkuk that he was going to be glorified through his solution. Now, have you ever gone to God and said, Lord, this is the toughest thing that I've ever been through, but my main concern is that you be glorified? And in verse 4, God tells Habakkuk that he will have to live by faith. Habakkuk, you just have to trust me. And God doesn't give him all the details of the Chaldean invasion. And sometimes God doesn't give us all the details of what he's going to do in our life either. But he still expects us to trust him, just like Habakkuk trusted him. So in chapter 1, he complains to God. He brings his frustrations to God. In chapter 2, he waits and he listens to what God has to say. And then in chapter 3, his perspective is totally changed because of it. Now look what happens. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, and fruit is not on the vines, the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock is cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. So what does he do? He begins to rejoice. That's the third thing. He rejoices. Now don't miss what he's saying. God told Habakkuk, I'm gathering the Chaldeans, and they're going to come in and make war against Israel. Now what happens when an invading army comes in? Well, they destroy everything, don't they? And Habakkuk, who's a farmer, by the way, says, even if I lose all the crops in my field, and I lose all my animals because of the enemy, I will still choose to rejoice. Now don't miss this. When he says these words, absolutely nothing has changed. Innocent people are still being found guilty in the courts. The law doesn't seem to be enforced at all. And there is sin and dishonesty everywhere. Nothing has changed, but Habakkuk has changed. And this is a simple truth that we need to learn. Absolutely nothing needs to change in your life for rejoicing to begin. Your circumstances don't need to change. Your financial situation doesn't need to change. Nothing has to change in order for you to rejoice. Your attitude and my attitude should be, I'm going to wait to see what God's going to do. And then I'm going to listen for his voice. And even if none of my circumstances change, my responsibility is to live by faith and to bring him glory. And bringing him glory is better than any solution that I could possibly come up with. And the bottom line is that God's plan would cause him to lose everything, but yet he still rejoiced. Do you begin to see how concerned Habakkuk was about God getting the glory? He was willing to lose everything so God could be glorified. Is that true in your life as well? And the end result is that the invading army does come in, just like God said it would happen. And Israel discovers for herself that they had turned their backs on God and they needed to go back to worshiping and trusting him. And I believe that we would have a completely different perspective if we were more concerned about God's glory than our own comfort. Even on your toughest day, you can still rejoice. Do you have some tough questions for God? Ask them, but then wait, listen, and rejoice. Be content with what God has given to you. Stop asking for more. Come on, he knows what's best for your life. Trust him. Go be a blessing to someone today, and rejoice that you have a loving Heavenly Father. So wait, listen, and rejoice. Have a great day of rejoicing and being thankful. You'll be glad you did. Share the podcast with a friend, and we'll see you next time.